Well, we're talking about fishing. And the gospel, of course, in the newer versions, follow me and I will make you fish for people. What's the traditional version? What?
Fishers of men.
Fishers of men, yeah. That's what we all learned in Sunday school and vacation Bible school a long time ago. But we love, at least I do, I love fish stories. I love fishing, even though I haven't fished in quite a few years. I love eating the fish. Matter of fact, it was appropriate. She had salmon last night. One of my most memorable fish stories is catching the yellowtail. The yellowtail is a fish in the Pacific, along the California coast, clear down through South America. And it's one of the favorite fish to eat. And I remember I was 13, we were in California, and my uncle had arranged that my father and I, and he would join, on one of those big fishing boats. There were dozens of men on it, probably 50 or 60. And everyone was fishing, and we all had these big rods, and you threw it out there, and then just let your bait be out there to see if you caught anything. And I remember that no one was catching much. And finally, I got a bite, and then I caught this fish had hooked on my hook, and I couldn't reel it in. It kept going out further, and jumping and diving. And so the captain of the boat ordered all the other men to reel in theirs and let me through. And I went around the boat several times as that fish went around. And finally, I was able to reel it in and brought in this big, I never knew what a yellowtail was, brought in this big yellowtail. And all the men were excited. And then I learned that they all put their money in a pool that was not just for that boat, for many boats that day. And I caught the largest yellowtail of the day. And if my name had been put in the pool, I'd have won quite a few thousand dollars. But my dad put his name in, wouldn't put my name in. He didn't want his son to gamble. So, but we took it to my aunt's, and they cooked it that evening, and we ate yellowtail. It was a great story. And the next couple days later, my uncle decided that we'd go fishing out in his boat in the Pacific. You know, just a small boat that a family would own. And it was me and my dad and him. And all of a sudden, my sister, who's 2 years older than I, she wanted to go. And I said, "No, Uncle Bill, don't take her out there with us. She's just a girl." "Exactly." She insisted, so my father said she can go. So we're out there on Uncle Bill's boat, and we get out in the water, and the boat's going up and down in that Pacific. And my father and I both get seasick, and our heads are hanging over the side of the boat, and my sister caught all the fish. I still enjoy telling, especially in front of her, telling people that story, and letting them know how special she is to me. Those are fish stories. We love them. They're fun. There are Jesus fish stories. You may recall several of them. There's the fish story of Jesus calming the storm because they're out in the boat, all those disciples. There's no fishing going on because of the storm, and the boat's bobbing up and down, and Jesus calms the storm. I always like the one, it's a fish story of doing the resurrection, and they've been out fishing all night. You know, what do you do when Jesus has died and you don't know what to do, and you're trying to figure out what your next moves are? So you get away, you go back to fishing, and they're out there fishing in the boat. How do they fish in those days? Of course, they throw the net out, like still done in the oceans, but not you and I, we cast. But they were catching nothing. And of course, Jesus tells them to cast on the other side of the boat. And how many fish did they bring in? Everybody remember the count? I think it's 153, I think it was. And so they bring them in. Today, he just meets these guys and he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fish for people. Men, women, children." So today it's, how do we fish for people? And you are a key group in our church. There's lots of people that would be take this sermon and wrestle with it on how do we do this. But I know you all are among those. How do we fish for people? But in the gospel, fishing for people, just before we get there, he left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, that's on the Sea of Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So what is that? Why is that brought up? And we got a map. So what does the map say to us? If you can see up there to the top of the map, there's a little blue spot. Yeah, right there, the Sea of Galilee. Okay? But then there's that gold spot above that, or yellow, is Naphtali. And the purple down below that, thank you, Jim, for pointing it to us, is Zebulun. You see the 12 tribes of Israel? You can ask, where did they get their names? Everybody remember where they got their names? Sons of Jacob. Yeah, sons of Jacob. So Zebulun and Naphtali were sons of Jacob. And it's declared there in the gospel that Zebulun and Naphtali on the road by the sea across from the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. Those were struggling areas, you see. In Isaiah, Isaiah 9, who remembers the passage? We use it every Christmas. The children who walked in darkness, I think I didn't do it this year, I did it the year before. Put your hands over your face. I've seen a great light. We do it every year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We do that at Christmas time. But at Christmas time, we don't bring up that Naphtali and Zebulun as actual sons of Jacob. Naphtali was the son of Jacob and who? Who's Jacob's wife? Aha. Excellent point. There are three of them. Yeah. So we know the first one, anybody remember? The main one, the one we know about? Rachel. And then there was Bella. She's the mother of Naphtali. I think Dan. So, there was a lot of discussion there and bickering going on. And then there was Leah. She's the mother of several, including Zebulun. And she and Rachel battled against each other with, you could expect, the problems that Jacob was, you know, things we wouldn't accept in the world, in our lives today. So that's all back in the background as we are to fish for people. And by now, the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, things are getting better. The children who walked in that darkness of that history, history goes on. There are great, Syria took over Zebulun, and it became their land. And, you know, great wars had been fought. But now they walked in darkness, and they've seen a great light. And now, Jesus, the followers of Jesus are there. And by the time Matthew wrote this, there were lots of them. And so we're supposed to fish for people, knowing that the history is it's not easy, but there are next steps. And of course, today we swing radically different. We fish for people on Facebook. And I just heard a wonderful discussion this morning on the radio. Desjardins, about an author of today going back to that philosopher and saying it is the evolution of our minds today and in this new world of technology, what evolution is happening? And are we ready? Are we ready to fish for people in that as it will be changing so radically and so fast? But I want to tell a friend another grandma story. This one goes to my grandmother's best friend named Sarah. Sarah knew how to fish for people. Not my way and not your way. The children in the neighborhood thought Sarah was the witch of the neighborhood. Sarah's husband had been killed in the railroad yard, got caught in between two cars that he was responsible for getting them hooked up. The meal on her table remained for 10 years because the news came when he was supposed to come home for dinner and he never arrived, and she just left that table sitting there for all those years. My grandmother tried to support Sarah during all those challenging times. While the neighbors watched Sarah's house deteriorate, she didn't do a thing to it. I used to peek in her garage and she had an old Model T Ford and a Packard, old Packard in there. And we knew that things were still the way they always were in certain ways. But Grandma insisted that we be nice to Sarah, even though we told Grandma that the children tell us she's a witch. And so we sought to be nice to her. But we also sought to get away from her as fast as we could. One day, my mother was there also at Grandma's. She said, told my brother and I, his name is Dean, you are to stay here. Oh, Sarah's here. We got to go. We're going to go play outside. No, you got to stay here in the house. Well, we didn't quite stay in the house. We went outside in the driveway, played. My mother said, you cannot leave right here. Okay. We didn't know what was going on. But we knew my mother had quite a challenge. Don't tell my brother I told this. Someone knows my brother. We both wet our beds. I was 11, and he was 7. And we still wet our beds. Just think of my mother having to deal with that, change those beds and those sheets every day. So we're there in the driveway, and Sarah and Grandma and my mother come out, and they tell us to get on our knees. Sarah's going to pray for us and anoint us so we can stop wetting our beds. My mother had taken us to all the doctors and did all the doctor stuff, and nothing was working. So we get on our knees. Sarah prays. She anoints us with oil. And as soon as they let us up, we ran down through the valley and laughed and laughed and laughed. But inside I cried. We never wet our beds again. Now what's that got to do with fishing for people? My brother and I both went to seminary. Changed us. Our job is to fish for people and their needs. Touching people where they need touched. Especially, of course, our loved ones. And like we've been saying all year, our neighbors. And all those near and far. We've got to figure out, what is our call, when and where, to touch people with the love of Jesus? And you've heard me many times bring up, how do we reach people? How do we repair our nets? As we heard that the disciples' dads were out repairing nets, so that we can fish for people in the new ways. Fishing for children. How do we do that? How do we fish for our neighbors, our community? 1 Corinthians today, we read that passage that I have taken that as a start for classes in many churches. Paul says you're divided. You know, there's Chloe's people and there's Apollo's people. Some got baptized this way, some baptized that way. Who do they follow? And how do we work through those divisions and become united so we can fish for children? And as some of the ideas I put in my annual report, I have a bunch of ideas, who knows which ones, but will they stimulate the church? Should the valley be a something to do in this winter time, a snowboarding thing, but in the summertime, should that be a, what's the other boarding? Skateboarding. Should that be a skateboarding place? Do we need one in this community to reach youth and children? Or should we continue things like shooting toilet paper across the parking lot? We did that in Vacation Bible School. It was very popular. How do we expand it? I could see the contest now. Every church bringing in, but every neighborhood coming. Should it be music? Some different way. That spring fair we had was a demonstration that we can fish for children. And currently, I don't know if you all know that yet, it's starting to come out, that our youth and our children in Sunday school and elsewhere are talking about a prayer wall for the church and online. And they love the idea. It's their idea. Reaching out to families in tragedy. I noticed that in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, we had a house fire. Mother got killed. One of the 11-year-olds out of 5 children got killed. AFL-CIO in West Virginia is reaching out to that family. So the unions are reaching out. How about the churches in that community? I hope they are. It's a time to care and a time to reach out and a time to fish for people. Even if they may never come to our church, but we fish, we show the love of the Lord. The other way to reach out is accepting the unaccepted. How do we grade ourselves in accepting the unaccepted here, the Grace Church? Are we an A, B, C, D, or that other letter? Are we reaching out to the unaccepted? I have a vision that we should have a... I have had a vision in different churches for this and have never yet done it. Should have a service of forgiveness that we promote out to the community. Come and be forgiven. And then, you know, we would have people write their sin, their whatever it is on them, a piece of paper, have a place to burn it, and tell them that God forgives them. And we had the proposal last year to have a coffee shop. It was written down. It's there on a piece of paper. And I say it should have free coffee, including lattes and frappes. I've learned about those lately. See, real love abounds in us. We believe, we trust, we share, we care. So we've got to trust the fact that Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men, women, and children. And take the risk. Even in the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, knowing that in the land of darkness, the great light comes. Amen.